The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. This evening, would like to spend a little bit of time discussing an issue which I believe is becoming more and more serious and more prevalent as the days and weeks, months and years go on. And that is the phenomenon of relatively educated yeshiva students, young men, young women, junior high school age, high school age, maybe even beyond, maybe some start a little bit before that, who are quite knowledgeable in Torah, information that they've learned, but yet just don't seem to know what it's all about. They don't seem to have a sense of where it's coming from, where it's going to, and what's happening. Had an incident recently and repeats itself sometimes almost daily of an individual, yeshiva educated, presently not very observant, and being asked why, he says, it's all about restrictions and I don't like restrictions. Especially restrictions that don't make any sense to me. I have no idea of where they're coming from, what their purpose is, where it's going to, what it's all about. And I just can't deal with restriction. My question to this young man was, did you have a strong education and didn't you learn a lot? He says, yes, I learned all about the restrictions. But I didn't seem to learn enough or develop an understanding of why, what are we doing, where are we going, what are we trying to accomplish, what's it really all about. And unfortunately, this theme is too oft repeated time and again, something which causes a lot of grief because nobody likes restrictions. In fact, the Torah recognizes our difficulty with restrictions, and we recite every day the Kriya Shema, the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shomayim. We do many mitzvahs also that are to help us to be mekabel, accept the burden of Hashem and His mitzvahs, because it's easy, because it's not easy, because it's something that we tend not to want to do, we tend to dislike, we tend to find too difficult and overwhelming. And without that sense of where, why, what it's all about, it becomes much too overwhelming. I remember many years ago at one of the Arachim seminars that we presented, and there was a young couple who had come, a religious couple, even though it was for the not religious, but they had come because they had a personal family tragedy, and their friends told them they needed some chizuk, and that this would be a good opportunity for them. And they attended the seminar for a few days, Thursday to Sunday night, something like that. And at the end, when the people get up to speak, this young man gets up at a symposium, and he begins to say, he says, you know, I attended the finest yeshivas, and I learned, and he recited all the different subjects that he learned. He says, but I never had a context with which to appreciate it all, where it was coming from, where it was going to, what it was really all about. He says, this seminar gave me that context, and my life is going to be different. And in fact, it turned out that it was very much different based on this experience. So our kids need context. And we must supply them with that context, because restriction in and of itself, especially to the uninitiated, the one who doesn't have this deeper appreciation for the integral benefits and discipline of restriction, certainly can be just overwhelming and beyond what they're capable or for that matter, interested in caring for. So a couple of words about that subject. Creation. Hashem created the world. And I guess we have to go back to creation, and maybe even to before creation, to get some sense of what it's really all about. Hashem, in his infinite perfection, needed nothing. Didn't need this whole creation, and his world and his existence was, whatever it was complete, total, perfect. However, it was one, as to understand it in human terms, even though it's really beyond our true comprehension, one issue was that Hashem has had and has, and hoye hoye ve ve'yiye, all the same, intertwined together, this desire, kaviyochol, so to speak, for chesed, to do chesed. Eilom chesed yibone. The yisod upon which this world is built is Hashem's chesed. Chesed to do chesed. In order to do chesed, to be good, to bestow kindness on, to bestow kindness, Hashem created a world. And he created creatures, creations, to populate the world, and humanity to populate this world, and created needs in that humanity, so that he has the constant, ongoing, endless opportunity to bestow chesed, to give pleasure, to give benefit, to do chesed to all of these creations. That's really what it's all about. So everything that we have and every experience that's part of our life is really a product, a byproduct of Hashem's chesed, Hashem's kindness. And this is something which children have to hear from the earliest stages, because there is a creation. We're not here by accident, which is very important, because as we may have mentioned in the past, if we're here by accident, then we have no purpose. If I have no purpose, my life has no meaning, and I don't feel good about myself. And the definition of happiness is validation, is feeling good about myself. And without purpose, without meaning, I don't feel good about myself, and therefore I will never be happy. So there's a creation, there's a creator, created for the purpose only of doing chesed. The Seil Sishorim puts it very nicely, Ho'olam, ho'odam lo nivro elo lehis'aneg al Hashem. However, the tainug, the pleasure that Hashem created us for, the ultimate pleasure, was lehis'aneg al Hashem, to have that pleasure in that special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shezeh ha'tainug ho'amiti v'ho'idun ha'godol mikolo idunim she'yicholim l'imotzi. Because that's the ultimate pleasure. The ultimate is the spiritual pleasure. The ultimate is the spiritual connection with the Creator Himself, that closeness, that bond, that dveikus, that clinging together between a human being and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ultimate pleasure, and that's the ultimate, the highest level of the pleasure, and therefore the chesed of creation. Ultimately, the ultimate place for that, of course, is in the world of spirituality, in the world of eternity, in the world of the ultimate closeness to Hashem, unmarred by the corporal, by the physical being. However, we're put in this world, in the physical world, in order to earn that chesed, and the earning of that chesed allows that chesed to be enjoyed and appreciated that much more. Appreciation for anything we have is a factor of having earned it. You know the famous story, they say it was told by the old John Rockefeller, when he used to have a driver, and his son, Junior, also used the same driver. And one day the driver asks the old man Rockefeller, he says, "Mr. Rockefeller, how is it that when I drive you, you give me a $5 tip? And when I drive your son, he gives me a $25 tip." And the old man Rockefeller smiles and says to him, "I didn't have a rich father." He says, "I worked for the money. I earned the money. And therefore, I deserve it. I appreciate it because I worked for it. When we work for something, we appreciate it. And that enhances the chesed, that enhances the pleasure that we have. So Hashem put us in a world where we work to achieve the deserving of the greatest of pleasures. But in this world itself, there are so many pleasures that Hashem offers us. Not only the physical pleasures, which are untold. And Agav, I think it's important for our children to hear that the Yerushalmi says that a person is going to have to give accounting for the permissible pleasures, the delicious fruits and the special things that were created in this world for man's pleasure that we did not partake of, because they were here to give us pleasure. Because to do chesed and to give pleasure is what Hashem's creation is all about. That's why He created us. But He created us in a world and with a system of earning that reward, of earning that pleasure, so that we can achieve, we can appreciate it that much more and enhance the chesed that He is doing for us. And that having been said, the Torah is a system of human development. And it has to be seen as such. It isn't a system of restrictions. Its restrictions are part of a broader system of human development, of the development of human perfection. Perfecting the human being, the Goyin says, Im lav tikun hamidos lo moli chayim. That's the way it's quoted in Evan Shleima. It says, if not for perfecting and improving my traits of character, my midos, what other purpose do I have in this life? That's the ultimate tachlis. Because through that perfection, I become closer to Hashem. I become more deserving of that special pleasure of relationship with Him. I become more capable of sustaining such a relationship because I have ennobled myself and emulated Hashem and become more enlightened to Him. And that's all part of this system. And the Torah and mitzvahs were for that. Chazal tell us, it's a Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, says, Imras Hashem Tzrufo, the words of Hashem are purifying. And Chazal Darshan, Lo nitno teiro u'mitzvos, elo litzareif bohenes habriyos. The whole purpose for the giving of Torah and mitzvahs was only to purify, to refine the character of mankind. And Chazal even go on to give two harsh examples of, do you think it makes a difference to Him where you put your tefillin? Or do you think it makes a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from where you shech the animal, the front, the back? He says, no. It's all for the purpose of purifying and refining the character of mankind. And when we look at things this way, and we see this is a system of becoming a better person. Rove of the mitzvahs of Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. Rove of the mitzvahs of the Torah, Rashi says in Shabbos, of Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. That's why Mada Lochsani L'Chavroch L'Isavid. The Iker of Torah, according to one pshat in Rashi, is Rove HaMitzvahs. Rove HaMitzvahs Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. The Torah works on purifying and refining and again the character, the midas, the ethics, the values, the actions. And of course we know that without the Bein Odom L'Mokuim, without the relationship with Hashem, the Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, the relationship between man and man, and thereby the refinement of our character, is severely hampered. As Avraham Avinu said, when Avimelech came to him with a taina and said, why didn't you say that this was your wife? We certainly never would have attempted to take her. And the Pasuk says, Avimelech said, Avraham Avinu answered Avimelech, Rakein yiras elikim b'mokim haseva haroguni al dvarishti. I was afraid that there was no fear of Hashem in this place and they would kill me to take my wife. Even though Avimelech held that this was morality and morality was sacred and they never would have done such a thing, but Avraham Avinu understood that he thought there was no Yiras Hashem without Yiras Hashem, without fear of heaven, without that sense of accountability and the knowledge that someone, Ayin Roya Ve'oizen Shomas V'chol Ma'asech V'sefer Nichtovim, there's an eye that watches, an ear that hears everything, and everything is recorded. Without that, we're vulnerable. You know, sometimes, yes, we like to be good, we like to be moral, we like to be refined, but push comes to shove, the temptation is great, the pressure is overwhelming. But when we factor into it Hashem, when we have a Shabbos and when we have a Yontif and when we have Tefillin and Tzitzis and Mezuzah and all of the mitzvahs that remind us Kab Kriyashma, Kabbalah Somal Choshmah and Talmud Torah, then we're constantly enveloped and surrounded by the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. That combined with all of the directives of the Torah to refine and perfect our character add up to a human being achieving the highest levels of human perfection, appreciating the relationship that he has developed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and it serves as a stepping stone and an entitlement to an eternity of relationship, to an eternity of bliss, to a lisanig al Hashem shelatainigu amiti, and mokum hoidin azehu beemes, the Mesilas Yesharim says, the ultimate place for this pleasure is Olam Habo, because it has all of the trappings, it's only the spiritual. In this world, we have the combination of spiritual and physical, and we achieve through that combination the heights of human perfection, to be entitled to even greater and greater pleasure and bliss. I think there's something else that should be pointed out to our children at some age. Maybe they can begin to understand it in the junior high school age, certainly early high school, and that is that the human being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created has three critical needs. It has physical needs, the body, physical needs, pleasures of the body, has emotional needs, and has spiritual needs. And this is critical to understand, that these are three essential needs that must be satisfied in order for a person to feel good, in order for a person to feel happy, in order for a person to feel meaningful, that his existence is meaningful, in order for a person to feel good about himself. Now, these three are quite simple what they are. The physical, you know, there's the body, there's the food that we need, the pleasures, the physical pleasures that we have, there's the exercise that we do to build our body, there's the beautification that we do of our body, there's the rest that we give to our body, and so the dress that we dress our body, all of the physical things that have to do with the body itself are critical needs. If we neglect those needs, if we allow, if we don't eat, if we don't drink, if we don't exercise, if we don't breathe properly or breathe proper air, take proper care of ourselves, or even neglect our body in other ways, we pay a price for it. It depresses the human being, and he cannot feel good about himself. There's the emotional. Emotional, I guess, has to do more with our relationships with our friends, relationships with our families. These relationships are also critical. A human being is not a creature that can live by himself. The rest of the world is critical in order to provide relationships, warmth of friendship. That's the second. The third need is spiritual. There must be some meaning and purpose and connection with the Creator, connection with the eternal, connection with the purpose, the global, the cosmic purpose of our existence. Otherwise, I'm a waste. Yeah, I have friends, I have bodily, physical pleasures, but there's no tachlis to the whole thing. What's it all about? What am I here for? Those are the three critical needs of the human being. Now, these critical needs can be met in two different ways. One is a partial meeting, a piecemeal meeting of these three critical needs. Let's say on Monday and Wednesday, I deal with the physical, pleasure, indulgence, food, everything, all my physical needs. Tuesday and Thursday is a day for friendships, emotional, family, friendship, you know, that type of thing. Not the physical, no physical, no eating, no drinking, nothing. And Shabbos, Saturday, we'll go to shul, we'll go to the synagogue, we'll have some kind of spiritual experience as well. Now, it's true that the three critical needs are somewhat being met, but there's something crucially missing in this system, and that is that they're not unified. They're not one. They're not part of one experience. They don't come together as the amalgam that produces the totally validated and self-confident and happy human being, because all of my needs are interwoven and being met in unity all together. And that is something which kim'at practically doesn't exist in the world, except in Yahadus, except in Judaism. What could be a better example of this than a Shabbos or a Yontif? A Shabbos experience It combines the ultimate of physical pleasure, the cleanliness of the house, the beauty of the clothing, the newness, the freshness, the cleanness, the food that we eat, the indulgence, the physical, the oinik Shabbos, sleeping, resting, eating, everything. But it's also together with family and friends. We sit around the Shabbos table and we indulge in the physical and the emotional together. But not just like that, not just like a dinner in the middle of the week, but it's all spiritual. It's the Zmiras and the Divrei Torah and the Kiddush and the Bench. The whole experience is an amalgam, is a unification of the ultimate of physical, of emotional, and spiritual pleasures all tied together. And that makes a person feel happy. Shabbos causes that sense. And of course, the spiritual is even greater enhanced because we know that the Shabbos is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to observe as the anniversary of His creation, chose us from amongst the nations of the world to give us this gift. It's only to us, and we feel that special, unique connection in the indulgences of the physical and the emotional, and that brings a person to total happiness. And our children have to hear that everything that we do is beneficial. Everything that we do is beneficial. Jewish family life is also the combination of the physical and the emotional and the spiritual component in the halachos and in the hanhogos and in the whole family life and family purity. It takes all of these concepts and ties them together. And we experience these concepts and everything. The mitzvahs that we do are physical experiences. Many of them are done with camaraderie, with an emotional component in terms of our relationships with our family, teaching our children, learning with our children, learning with other people. Chesed that we do to other people, connections, the love that we have for our fellow man. It's all part of an emotional, it's a physical, emotional, and a spiritual experience, which is the ultimate for causing human happiness. And unfortunately, our children don't get a sense of all of this. And this sense is so critical that we find, and I believe we've mentioned this, that the Sefer HaChinuch almost, and this is on the more specific level, desisted from writing about one mitzvah or giving a tam on one mitzvah, which he wasn't aware of what the tam is, the reason, the benefit. And then he said he's afraid that if he does so, he says he's afraid that his children might rebel against the mitzvahs because the Torah will seem like a closed book. They'll rebel against the mitzvahs in their youth. And the mitzvah of kol sor v'chol dvash lo yisatiru isha l'Hashem. He wrote reasons and benefits for 612 mitzvahs. This wasn't even one that was done in his time because it was in the Beis HaMikdash, not to bring honey and leaven on the Mizbeach. But he was afraid if one mitzvah didn't have gishmak, tam, reason, and benefit, he was afraid the whole thing could be lost. This is how critical it is. And it's even more than that, and we mentioned this, I believe, too, that the Ralbag writes at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha that if you wish to convince a loved one to do something that's painful and strange, bizarre, he says, first tell him the benefits, before you even tell him what you want him to do. And the cheshek, the desire for the benefits, will lessen, will mitigate the pain and the strangeness of it, and it'll make it easier for the person to do. And we learn this from Avraham Avinu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to enter into a bris with Avraham Avinu, he did not tell him about the operation, about the physical operation. Only first he told him, you're going to have nations coming forth and you'll inherit Eretz Yisrael. And after he knew the benefits, then the cheshek for those benefits helped mitigate the pain and the strangeness of what he was about to have to undergo. And that was his presentation even to Avraham Avinu, who is capable of doing mitzvahs at such a level of perfection. So it's critical on the broader sense that our kids have a sense of where it's coming from, what it's all about, why we're doing this. It isn't about restriction. I know there was a time, I don't know if they feel this way, but there was a time where I heard young children saying that when they learn some halachas, it looks as if a bunch of old rabbis, maybe they said old-fashioned rabbis, We're rubbing the hands together and trying to figure out how can we make these kids miserable. We got to do this, you can't do this, you must do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you must do this, you must do this. And nothing could be further from the truth. The Torah and its mitzvahs and the Shulchan Aruch and its halachas are a system, an age-old, time immemorial system to bring about human perfection, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the ultimate sense of validation and human happiness. The closest relationship that a person has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more a person can feel good about himself. And that's really the import and the basic understanding of this concept of mitzvahs. And in order to do this, we have to be sensitive to a few things. First of all, we have to realize that our kids have questions. We must be willing to listen to the questions and answer the questions. And more often than not, the questions have to do with two things. One, as we discussed a little bit last week and this week, and that is, how do we know we're right? And what's in it for me? What's the benefit? Why do I have to do this? Why so many restrictions? And the more that they can see and develop an appreciation for these two issues, the more solidified their commitment to Torah mitzvahs becomes, the less concerned they are about anything else that may interfere with this, the more the restrictions become transformed into privileges. Because these restrictions are really part of a privileged class, a privileged system to elevate me to higher, infinitely higher levels of human perfection and to entitle me to feel fulfillment and accomplishment and pleasure and ultimately that closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world and the next, which can be the greatest of all pleasures. One of the things that interfere with the communication of this this beautiful system is the pleasures of the moment. The concept or the distinction between happiness, which is validation, feeling good about myself, and the pleasures of the moment. Pleasure, thrills, pleasures, enjoyment. And our kids have to be taught from an early age that there's a big difference. Happiness is something that's real, that lasts, that feeling good about myself that comes from within. Pleasure is a substitute for the void, the lack of that feeling good about myself that I temporarily douse with these outside pleasures, which don't make me feel good about myself. In fact, I feel worse about myself because I need these outside indulgences to make me feel a little bit better. And they're really not talking to what I am or who I am, but rather just substituting for all these good feelings. But what also is involved is that our kids today are having so many pleasures that our parents and grandparents never even dreamt of at such a fast clip, at such a young age, that the good news is that sometimes by their teenage or mid-teen years, they've been there, done that a number of times around, and they're beginning to see on their own it doesn't do anything for them. There's no great shakes, there's no great pleasure out there. There's no satisfaction. It's frustrating. The more you have, the more you want. The more you get, the more you need more. And it does endless, and it doesn't really do anything for me. And this also, this realization, and sometimes helping them to see it or pointing it out, can make a major difference in their ability to appreciate the sense of meaning of life and enhance the appreciation of the mitzvahs and reduce that fear and that sense of being forever and constantly restricted. So these are some ideas which, if we can find ways of incorporating into the chinuch of our children, will probably make life much more meaningful and easy for them to deal with the burdens and restrictions of mitzvahs.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org. where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.